is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Okay, the last few weeks, as we're in this Lenten season, we've been talking about communion. And we talked the first week about the fruit of the vine, about the cup. We talked last week about the bread, and today we're talking about us. We're part of communion. I mean, that's what communion means, you know, the fact that we're coming together and we're sharing this event with one another. That's what communion is. It's the sharing of this opportunity. And if we look back at the Passover, one of the things I always talk about, and I know some people have asked me questions about this, and this is why I'm bringing this up today. And if we look back at the story of the original Passover in Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, God tells Moses, "Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of the month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat." So the Passover is meant for the family, one family. Now, these were big families back then, the big extended family. It wasn't just mom, dad, and the kids. There was the grandmothers. There was the grandfathers, maybe great-grandmothers and grandfathers, aunts, uncles. A big family lived together in a house. I don't think I can imagine my entire family eating a whole lamb. You know, in my house, there's the three of us. Unless we gave some to the dog, because I'm pretty sure he could eat a whole lamb by himself, because he's a little pig. As much as I love lamb, it would be a really bad idea for me to eat more than, 3 or 4 pounds. That's a lot of lamb. But it's meant for a family. It's meant for a family. That's the thing about Passover. Even when they talk later, I know I've seen it, but of course I couldn't find it as I was getting ready for this. But the intention at the Passover meal is for the family to be together and experiencing this together. You don't necessarily invite your neighbors to come over and enjoy Passover with you, unless, of course, it's a situation, as it said here, where there's only a few people. One of the fun things, you know, about Passover is it's specialness. And when you set the table for Passover, I mean, you always set an extra place. I don't know if you knew this or not, but you're always supposed to set an extra place at your table. You know, in my household, there were the three of us. If we were having Passover meal at our house, we would set a fourth place. That fourth place is meant for Elijah. The prophets all start sounding the same after a while. It's meant for Elijah, the prophet Elijah, because he's coming back. So we set this extra seat for him. I remember years and years ago, we had a big Passover event at church where we had the whole Passover meal. And there was a rabbi who was a Christian who did this program and, you know, about what everything in the meal represented. And we had to make reservations ahead of time so that they knew how many places to sit. And they left one open for Elijah. And there was another person who didn't show up who had made a reservation. So there were two open seats. I guess that was in case Elijah brought a date. But it's for family. And when Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, that was a family. In just the same way that we are here today celebrating communion as a family. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, "God predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's not just salvation that we're getting, but we're getting adopted into God's family. So we're his children. And that also makes us brothers and sisters with one another. So we're all a big family. That's what the church is. Not just this congregation is a family, but all the churches that profess Jesus Christ are one big family. We refer to that as the Church Universal, or the Catholic Church, with a small c, not the denomination Catholic, but the universal church. That's what Catholic means. It means universal. It's the universal church. It's everybody who professes to be Christian, one big family. And this event, Not just the Passover, but the communion is meant, was instituted by Christ, I believe, to unite us all as one family. And yet, it's one of those things that really seems to divide us the most. There are a lot of churches that I can go to on a Sunday morning, and they'll be having their communion service, and I'll get up there, and then they won't give me communion. Maybe because I'm not a member of their church. Maybe because I'm not a member of their congregation. There are Christians who will come into a church and that's offering communion, and they won't get up and take it because they think they need to be a member, or they think they need to be a member of that denomination or that church or something like that. I know there are many churches and many denominations that believe that. And we do not, that's what they refer to as fencing communion or fencing the Eucharist. I think it's meant to unite us. There was a retreat I was on many years ago called the Walk to Emmaus. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. I probably mentioned it now and then. But one of the things I really enjoyed about that, it was like a 3 or 4 day retreat. We had communion every day, just about first thing. Everybody that was on the retreat, we got together and we had communion. And it was really a bringing together kind of thing. I think there was even one day we had it twice. And one of the things that I really dislike about Kairos, which is another retreat I do, you might have heard me mention it once or twice, we don't do communion there at all because it's one of those dividing things. Because there will be people there who don't think they should take it. There will be people there who don't think that other guy should take it. And that can really be divisive. There's a young lady I know who won't take communion, period, because she thinks she's not worthy. She thinks she's not worthy. When she was young, she had a child out of wedlock, and her father was a minister. Well, when word came to him that she was going to have a baby, he brought her up in front of the entire congregation and disowned her. It was, I think, I don't know for sure, but he effectively excommunicated her from the church. There's no forgiveness in his heart for her, but she's convinced that she's not welcome at communion. She's convinced of this. I just want to make sure everybody knows you're all welcome. As long as you profess Christ to be your Savior, you're a child of God, and you're welcome at his table for Passover or communion or whatever we want to call this. You're welcome and invited. I don't invite anybody. God invites you. I'm just happy to serve. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And that's why we do it. That's why we have communion. We have communion in remembrance of him. I mean, hopefully we're not forgetting him because, well, it is Sunday and we're in church. Hopefully we're remembering Jesus while we're in church on Sunday. That might sound kind of odd, but I'll tell you the truth. I've been to some church services on Sundays where God doesn't get mentioned. I hope I'm not guilty of that. If you ever come out of here if you ever come out of a service on a Sunday afternoon where I'm here and you don't hear me mention God or Jesus or anything like that, shake your finger at me and make sure I know what's going on, because that's what we're here for, is to remember it. And that's why we have communion. That's why I love serving communion every week. It's in remembrance. Now, I know that there are some people who don't like to take communion every week, and that's okay. I'm still going to offer it. Communion is a special thing. Part of the Passover meal, when you have like a proper Passover, one of the things that happens is the youngest person there is supposed to get up and ask, "What's so special about tonight?" Which prompts the head of the household to tell the story of Passover. What's so special about tonight? Well, what's so special about this? It is special. It is a special thing, and its specialness is why I like to do it every week. And for some people, you know what? Maybe it's so special that you don't want to do it every week. I understand that, because it could become repetitive. If you do the same thing over and over again, it eventually loses its meaning. If you do the same thing over and over again, even if it's a special thing, it can lose its meaning. I remember someone saying to me, if you stood around for an entire day and just said the word t-shirt over and over and over again, by the end of the day, you wouldn't know what a t-shirt was anymore. There was a movie I was watching not too long ago. I'm not going to tell you what it was because I don't want anybody to go see it, because it was really not a very good movie. But one funny thing was, it was set in the future, and they were going shopping at a Costco. And this guy from today had like traveled into the future, and he was going into Costco, and he walks in, and there's a greeter at the door who says, "Good morning, welcome to Costco, I love you." They didn't mean it, but they said it so much that it lost its meaning. It lost its specialness. We want those words to mean something when we say them, right? So we don't tell everybody, even though it should be true, we don't tell everybody that we love them. We save it for special people. And communion is like that. It's special. I was at a service once where the pastor was saying, you know, a lot of people brought up this point that, you know, keep communion special. And one of the things we did for that particular day, they said, if you're right-handed, take communion with your left hand, because maybe you'll have to think about it a little more, rather than it just being a thing that you do. It needs to be special. It needs to be special in your heart. And if taking it every week takes that specialness away from you, please don't take it. But it is special enough for me. I love taking it every week. I love taking it every chance I get. That's how special it is for me. And I tell you, one of the things I like, you know, when we changed our style of taking communion from before, where you take the bread and you dip it, and we got this nice little tray that's got the cups and it's got the bread in the center of it. We can take that and we hold on to it and take it all together. That's even more special to me, because that's us taking it together. Before, it was like you just take it and you're taking it, but it seems more family as we're taking it all together. Am I the only one that thinks that? I might be, I don't know. But we are a family, and we gather together for this special thing. Not just this, but to gather together and worship. And that's a special thing too. And again, that's a special thing that just never gets tired for me. Let's hope not, because I get to do it twice on Sundays. When I start getting tired of it, then we're in trouble, because these sermons won't be as wonderful as they are. You're supposed to nod or something. Yes, your sermons are wonderful. Sometimes I don't want to see hands. We have this, as we were talking about Kairos, special time. This is special time. It's not just 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon that we have worship. It's special time, that Kairos time for us. Something special, something unique, and hopefully we don't get weary of it. Hopefully it remains special, however many times we experience it, and however many times I tell the same joke over and over again. You know, those get tired. I'm trying to get new ones. It's that specialness. It's that time we gather together, the special time that we gather together as a family. And that's special time too, isn't it? When your family is together, that's your biological family is together. That's special time too. I mean, we're living in an age where, you know, I know I keep hearing from people about, well, their kids are so busy. They've got all these things going on, and we've got 3 kids and they're all off doing something different every single night of the week. And it's hard sometimes for these families to get together even for one meal a day. And when they are together, it needs to be special, this gathering of family, not just the small biological family, but this family that's united by the fatherhood of God. It's special. It's special to me, I know that. And hopefully the fact that you all keep coming back, hopefully that means it's special to you as well. And the opportunity to share together and to remember our brother, Jesus Christ. As we're God's children, he's our brother. We need to remember that as well. And we do this to remember him. We do this in remembrance of him. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word for today, I think, is community. And not just community, but family. You know, we need to remember that when we come together as a family for worship, and not just for worship, but as Christians, we can do so much more. Because we are a family, and we need to work together, and we need to be that family. I know a lot of times, a lot of people have grown up in families that are broken and imperfect, and I understand that. But we need to remember that the family we're in here is not broken. The family we're in here, we have a perfect Father, and we need to be the best of His children we can be. We need to remember that. The service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and be blessed. Amen.